only direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
He will cast them in the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you can hear me this morning, remember Jesus said, those who hear you, meaning me, meaning him, meaning preachers that go out and share the word of God, he who hears you, hears me. And he who hears me, hears him. Where are you at? So here we have, okay, two types of self-professed Christians. I use that term lightly. A true believer, and the other, a deceptive weed, a tear that looks just like a real one. The field is the world. To localize that a bit, the field, Merritt Island. The good seeds here in Brevard County are the genuine Christians, the children of the King. The tares, that is those who grow up, according to the Son of God, right alongside the genuine Christians, these are the sons of the wicked one, as the Son of God himself labels them. What a profound statement that is. Remember what that Greek professor wrote. A tare is a plant that bears a striking resemblance to wheat. And he also said it resembles it so much that it could hardly be distinguished from it. Now, before we get to the solution, let's look at the problem one more time. This time from a different text and a different teacher, and that would be the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13. I think that's on the handout. If you need a Bible, let me know. And I'll give you one. Okay? Anyone need a Bible, talk to me after the service and I'll have one for you by next Sunday. You need an axe. Right? How can you walk around without an axe? Sword, excuse me. Same thing. It's what does your damage. It's your weapons, the word of God. Okay. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 11, 13. For such, that is those that were trashing him behind his back, such, they're false apostles. They're deceitful workers. That is, people that work alongside you who are deceiving you into thinking they're someone that they're not. They're proclaiming to be Christians, but they're not. They're not Christians. They say that they are. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And his ministers, ministers. Same Greek word. Probably as deacons, I bet. I'd have to look that up. Of righteousness. Back to this text. No wonder Satan himself transforms himself to an angel of light. Therefore, this is no big surprise or no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works, meaning they're going to get it in the end. And there you have it. Modern day true transformers. More than meets the eye. Demons in disguise. Every church in America, except this one, has demons in disguise lurking in the church rolls. Now we've established, and I say that because I can be bold, can I? No demon in his right mind would sit in this church for the last 5 or 10 years and not shriek and run for his life. I mean, how much of the blood can you take? Demons go to where there's a washed down, garbage filled, nonsense babble that comes out of this pulpit that doesn't transform lives. We don't preach that here. We preach the unadulterated word of God. It hurts when you hear it, but it's a feel-good gospel. Do what he says, and you'll feel good when you leave today. Right? It's a feel-good gospel. We've never lost a case. A surgeon with 100% accuracy. Always. He never loses. His scalpel's perfect. It's the word of God. Do what God's telling you to do today. Been praying all week long the Holy Spirit would speak to all of you and show you, one thing you lack. Do this, and then you'll be fine. Isn't it great to leave church every week fine? Isn't it? I try to share it with others and tell them what happens in this church. I call your attention once again to the comments made by this Greek professor. He said, I asked a guide, a native Syrian, if he knew of a plant which was apt to make its appearance among the wheat and which resembled it so much that it could hardly be distinguished from it. And he replied, it was very common, and he would show me a specimen of it. Now, with that statement, I'll show you a specimen. Hold that thought. Here's the rest of his statement. Soon after this, he pointed out to me some of this grass growing near our path. And afterwards, having once seen it, I found it in almost every field that I searched for it. So it is in the spiritual realm, church. Once you see it, you too will identify it almost everywhere that you look. Once you see what it looks like, you won't forget it. I remember a long time ago when I lived in Colorado, at that time, before my wife passed, and I saw this little flower that was yellow, and I said, oh, how cute, what a pretty flower. A dandelion. And my wife at that time told me that that was a weed. I thought it was a flower. I didn't know, but once someone that knew more than me identified what that was for me, I'll never forget. And then I looked, and then I noticed my eyes were open. And I saw weeds everywhere I looked when I thought before I had seen flowers. Now everywhere I lie, you see, my perspective has changed. Because someone better than me opened my... Oh, I was ignorant. They showed me the truth. I never forget. Now I see tares when I used to see wheat. Once you see it, you'll find it in almost every field you search for it. But you get it? Field. Wherever you go around the world, you'll find this deceptive weed growing up alongside the wheat. That is, you'll find demons in disguise who have been transformed into ministers of righteousness wherever you go. This is why I call this sermon the invasion of the body snatchers. In that movie, these alien pods were taking over the earth by duplicating people's bodies as they slept. Funny, too, Jesus said exactly the same thing. That while men slept, the enemy came and did his damage. But anyway, aliens were duplicating bodies of humans and masquerading as that person. And it was near impossible to identify them. But I say near impossible. You see, those who knew the original, they were able to tell the difference, like a bank examiner. And by golly, it's the same thing for you and I as well. Those who know the original will be able to tell the difference. I mean, for instance, all right, Pastor Darren, what would you do if your wife came home with a cinnamon broom and started eating cinnamon rolls? he'd be in my office for counseling. I don't think he would go back home. He wouldn't go home alone because he's not a fool. Because no one knows that woman on God's green earth better than him. He's the one that can identify what the original looks like. Or me. How about if I start eating broccoli 9 ways to Sunday? We have this conversation all the time. You see, she'd call for an ambulance for me. That I had a stroke or something, or I'm dead, or someone has stole my body while she slept, and they were pretending to be me. But it takes someone that knows the original so well to be able to identify this and tell the difference. So I say to you, know the original. That is the original Christian. Know the real from the counterfeit. Know the real from the counterfeit. Or Jim, if your wife said to you next summer she wants to go to Antarctica for a vacation instead of Island Marauda, you'll be in my office and you know it. You'll be afraid to go home. I would if you told me your wife said that to you, because you know her and you know the original and you won't be deceived if you know the original. If you don't, then you're a fool. You're a fool. But you can change and make it right. Get to know the original a little more or a little better. Question. How can you recognize the real McCoy from the imposter? We've got the answer to that, don't we? There's no need to speculate. The Son of God has already answered this question. And by the way, this was the first time he exposed such a problem. Later on in chapter 13, he does it again. Later on in chapter 24, he does it again. Reason being, this is a major threat to the kingdom of God. That's why we're even having this conversation today. Because Jesus is telling you 4 or 5 times to beware this is happening. Not everyone sitting among you is a Christian like they say. Not everyone who says to you, hallelujah, is a follower of Christ. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, that reminds me of another movie. What was that movie with Will Smith and the Tommy Lee Jones and this mailman and his head would open and he had a cigarette, smoking a cigarette, and he did 89 mailboxes in a second? Men in Black. It's biblical, I tell you. On the outside, it looks like Bob Smith, your mailman. But it's not Bob Smith. Inside, when his head starts to segment, he's got 9 heads. And tentacles. Matter of fact, 8 or 9 or 10 of them. He does 10 mailboxes at once because he's got 10 arms. But he sure looks like Bob on the outside. It's funny how they steal all these stories from the Bible, isn't it? How do you recognize a terror or a demon masquerading as an angel of light? Here's the revelation the Lord gave me to answer that question. Number one, how do you recognize a terror? Acting like your spiritual father. Acting like your spiritual father. Jesus said in John 8:38, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. He then went on to say this, John 8:44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Now Jesus shocked these guys by telling them that they were tares. an offspring of Satan, while they thought they were wheat. Shocking. How do you recognize an imposter? When that person's father doesn't line up with your father. Right? When that person's father doesn't line up with your father. When your life is defined by lying, and if a person is a deceptive liar, then that person is an imposter and masquerading as a believer in Jesus Christ. Not someone who's told a lie, someone who is a liar, not the noun, the adjective. The adjective. When that describes you because that's your nature, then Jesus would shock you and say, Satan is your daddy. Because if you are a Christian, that can't describe you. You can't be a liar by nature if God is your father. Because he is truth. And his children operate and walk in truth. Everyone understand that? I'm not saying if you've told a lie, you are a child of Satan. I'm saying if you practice it like you practice the violin or the tuba or the trumpet or medicine, when you practice that and that describes you, but it's not too late. You can change that today. If the Lord shows you that and you say, wait a minute, I am a liar. And no one else knows it, and that's a secret that you just keep to yourself. You can change that. You can change your standing today. And that's good news. And this is why he died. To help you get out of that place where you're at. To get into the kingdom. Jesus came to seek and save those that were lost. And if that was you, then you're lost. And now, praise God, at 11:36, you're found. Hallelujah, right? That's good news. Go home and watch some football. Have a BLT. Rejoice. This saint who once was lost, by golly, now is found. And that's good news. You don't have to remain there. Truth. Jesus said, all those that are of the truth, hear my voice. All right, way number two of recognizing an imposter. One who causes division. One who causes division. Always remember this statement. Perhaps write it in the margin of your Bible, and that's this. The Holy Spirit unites and Satan divides. The Holy Spirit unites people. Satan divides. At your job, in your church, in your family, Satan, the spirit that's behind this, when you look in Farmer Bob's head peels back and you look and see, and you peel back the onion, it's the devil is the one responsible for dividing people. Listen to this scripture verse Paul wrote, Ephesians 4:4. Notice the use of the word one. There is one body and one spirit, as you were called, and one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in us all. Praise God. That's unity. One. God is one. His people are one. Satan divides. All right, one last one. Let's call it 2A. See why I didn't have any music this morning? 2A. How do I recognize an imposter? One who sows discord among his brothers. So two was one who causes division. 2A, one who sows discord among his brother. Listen to this, Proverbs 6:16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies. Hey, that's funny. That's on there twice. And one who sows discord among brethren. So, by their fruits, you will know them. All right, so you've done all this. My world is full of counterfeit believers. Now what? What should I do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? I'm convicted. Let's let the Lord once again answer this question. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain sprouted and produced the crop, then, notice it doesn't happen until later, then the tares also appeared or made themselves manifest. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, look, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, a hostile man has done this. So the servant said, do you want us then to go and gather them up? That's ultimately the question, right? What do I do with this knowledge? Should we burn these at the stake like the Catholics did? Or maybe like the Salem witch trials? Answer, Lord, verse 29. He said, no. Lest while you gather up the tares, you also might uproot the wheat with them. Then he says, meaning, some imposters are so closely attached to true believers that the true believers might get hurt in the process. Don't touch them. Leave them alone. Or, I'll leave you with this. Another reason why not to touch them. Because they might change daddies today. You don't know the future. Maybe that's how it was. Maybe that's how it is with you today. God has given you the opportunity right here and now today to change who your daddy is. That's why he says don't root them up. Because you have another opportunity to make things right. And let me show you that we all came out of that school. Listen to this verse, Ephesians chapter 2. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Meaning we all have fallen short. We all at one time were born with Satan as our daddy. The children of God are adopted children. They're adopted. We need a heart transplant. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone, he's describing everyone here, among whom we all once conducted ourselves. Every one of us was born with a sin nature, with Satan as your daddy. It's not just you that needs to change. Everyone needs to change dads. We are adopted. That's why it says we are heirs of God. Romans 8, verse 17. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You and I are adopted into this family. God's only son is Jesus Christ. And you and I are adopted sons. By changing dads, you can do that today. You can do that right now from where you stand, where you sit. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you. Thank you for identifying my standing this morning. I hereby, right now, this morning, I want to change positions. I want to change fathers. I don't want to be a child of the devil. I want to be a child of God. And I believe you've got the power to do that, God. So I give my life to you. I turn from the sin that I've committed. I leave it behind. And I pray by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe there's power in the blood for me to change fathers. I pray you would do what only you can do, the work. I want to change. Forgive me for these sins. I praise you and receive you today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Speaks the sacred words, Mary, you will be with child, the miracle of virgin birth. Joseph heeds the angel's sign and takes her as his promised wife. Now through the night they journey on. How far is it to Bethlehem? Wise men plan their course ahead, searching for the promised King. Now from the east a guiding star. How far is it to Bethlehem? Jerusalem, oh, see the Mount of Calvary. They're lifted high upon a cross, the Savior of humanity. He conquered sin and buried shame, rose to life and burst the grave, forever bridged the great divide. Has come to bring us home.